Hello and welcome to the American Horror Story Podcast, brought to you by Bald Move. We're the officially unofficial podcast.
Happy Halloween, freaks.
For FX's American Horror Story. Is it American Horror Story? Yeah. I'm all confused.
American Horror Story. American Horror Story, colon freak show,
season four. Brought to you by baldmove.com. I got that in there, right? Baldmove.com.
I'm your host, Cecily.
And I'm your host, Aaron. This is a horror show. My God. We're talking about Edward Mordrake Part 2. It's the fourth episode of this season. Boop, and boop. I personally, I think this is the best one. What is your take?
I liked this episode a lot. I found that there are some slight inconsistencies, but overall, I liked it. I liked the backstories of all the characters. It was interesting.
Yeah, especially with some of the smaller, some of the guest star type characters. I thought that was extremely efficient storytelling. The way they busted, you know, we got Paul the Human Seal.
The Illustrated Seal.
The Illustrated Seal, yes. Yeah,
Legless Susie.
Legless Susie.
I feel like...
Got a lot of Elsa Mars, which I wasn't even expecting.
Yeah. I mean, do you get the impression that not all freaks have dark pasts and histories? Like, I can't imagine that Ma Petite and Amazon Eve have come from really dark places to find themselves there. I think that they...
I don't know. I mean, Ma Petite, the actress that plays her, seems like a genuinely happy person.
Yeah.
And she's only, like, 19 years old, so what does she know about life? But she seems like she's just really happy... all the time. Interesting enough, Matt Frazier, who plays Paul the Illustrated Seal, seems like he had a great life.
Yeah.
His mom loved him. He had very positive self-esteem.
Are you talking about real life now?
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought you were talking about Freak Show.
I thought you were talking about their characters in the Freak Show universe.
Ah.
I'm merely saying that the reason Edward Mordrake didn't visit some of these other side characters and we didn't get their backstories is because I don't think they necessarily had trouble.
I don't know. I feel like the only one is maybe out of time. I would love to see him visit Del. He visited Pinheads, and they're like...
Yeah, that's true. He did visit them.
They're like fey. They're like wild fey, woodland creatures that are free from original sin.
It's like, there's no shame in you, and just laughs in their face.
The only shame is the fact that they were denied meatloaf.
Who let them stay up that late? That's just irresponsible.
I feel like they're
playing by themselves.
They're the type of, like, you know how, like, sometimes twins
they're
in the same bedroom, and they're like 3 years old, and they just get up in the middle of the night, and they start playing. Because they don't know the concept of, like, it's bedtime. And
why do they have to be twins?
I'm just saying.
I used to share a bedroom with my brother.
Okay, well,
we were always lawless creatures.
We're not going to delve into your dark history and dark past. I'm just saying that the pinheads seem like that they are that type of people. They're just completely innocent.
Yeah.
They didn't know they're supposed to be in bed.
No, they probably didn't even need to be in bed. Who cares?
A loud noise woke them up, and they're like, oh, well, I'm not really tired. Let's go play. Let's go put on impromptu Halloween... party show.
It was streamer fest.
No, I thought it was a great episode. And I don't know whether it's coincidence or not, but it's also the shortest episode, and it lacked a song.
You're right, it did.
I've never been bothered by the songs, but I have been bothered by the length, and I feel like that making this a trim 1 hour episode was played to the show's strengths.
I did read a little blurb somewhere that I can't credit to anyone because I don't remember. Maybe it's on Facebook. That Ryan Murphy said there was only going to be like two more songs.
Yeah, a total.
It's not going to become a musical show.
Yeah, someone on our Facebook site said there's five musical episodes. But one of them is an all music extravagant. No, I don't know. I'm just making shit up.
All right, this episode was directed by Howard Deutsch.
Deutsch?
Who I'm sure everyone remembers me talking about during True Blood. He directed a couple of those episodes in the last season. He's the guy who did a lot of Howard Hughes stuff in the 80s, like Pretty in Pink and things like that. The writer is a very interesting person named Jennifer Salt, who is a 70-year-old former actress. Seems like most of her credits are in like the late 60s, early 70s when she did all of her acting type things. She wrote a couple episodes for Nip Tuck, American Horror Stories in the previous seasons, and she wrote the screenplay for Eat, Pray, Love. And I'm not giving you... Okay, I'm giving you the slightest bit of paraphrasing of her career as a writer, but that's basically it.
That's interesting. Eat, Pray, Love, Nip Tuck, and American Horror Story.
Yeah.
None of those things are like the other.
And she was an actress for most of her life. It's not like she wrote other things. It's these things she wrote. So I just thought that was really interesting. She did a great job.
No, I thought so. I mean, it's interesting because I loved this episode bunches, but I was surprised. It seemed like the fan base was fairly divided about it, and we'll be getting to that in feedback.
Really?
But now, you and I, time to tear into Edward Mordrake, part two. The green fog is rolling in and visiting a variety of performers at Mrs. Mars Freak Show. Paul the Human Seal, we talked about. Paul the Illustrated Seal, rather.
Yes.
Legless Susie, the pinheads. Legless Susie killed a guy. She had her legs taken from a spine, from a spinal injury reason when she was 2 years old, which I think is actually, if I remember the interviews with the cast, I think that's actually her real life too. And there was a guy who's kind of dancing around, and he wasn't really being a prick about it. It's just like, she's like, I'm tired of this guy parading his legs around in me, stabbed him, accidentally hit an artery, and he died. Which she feels really bad for.
Oh, and we also find out that Percival is the name of Edward Mordrake's back face.
Really?
Yeah.
That does seem like an evil name.
Yeah. Legless Susie. She killed a guy.
She killed a guy. Paul is, I don't know. He seems like he just had a hard, kids were hard on him growing up, and he was seen as a monster, and he decided that if you want to see a monster, I'll give you one, and I'll get my body all tattooed, and he was going to get his face tattooed, but he said he couldn't because his face is too damn handsome.
It is a handsome face.
He has a handsome-ass face. Strikingly handsome face.
Does he have
great hair?
Does he have shorter legs, too?
No. He actually has really...
So he's, like, average height?
I don't know average. So I was doing some research, and one of the skits that he does is a burlesque show where he does a striptease, and he also has these really elegant prosthetic arms that he wears over his real arms that he can manipulate.
Right.
And at the final part of the striptease is he, like, teasingly takes those off, too.
That's funny.
Revealing his little flipper things. But he's got really nice legs. And he's also, real life, he is a very talented drummer.
Mm-hmm.
He's been a drummer in a lot of different European bands and stuff. And he also is married to a beautiful burlesque dancer.
Yes, she's an interesting-looking woman.
You're saying interesting like it's a bad thing.
I think she's very visually appealing. She doesn't do like traditional sexy wearing, what are those things called? Wearing pasties. She does really like
it's art.
Visually interesting things.
Yeah.
Like that water photo you showed me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She actually seems like she does things where she calls, I think she views it as art, and she does things that are...
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You would see in museums and stuff. But he's a super interesting guy. He seems like he has a rockin' life. Both of these people are passed over, including the pinheads, because Edward's looking for the pure freak, and these guys aren't it.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes, you may.
He says he's looking for a pure freak. So why is he asking for everyone's darkness?
Well, see, when
I understand at the end, but I just don't understand the cause.
I don't think pure as in innocent. I think pure like... they say orange juice is pure Valencia. It doesn't have anything else. Like, you're pure freak. You're freak through to your soul.
Oh, I didn't even.
Which is why I thought my theory was he was going to take Del, even though Del seems like he's physically without blemish. In fact, he's got a champion physique. The fact that he is abusive and mean and has manipulated so many different people, I thought maybe.
Oh, I think that's the reason why he didn't. I think that's just human nature.
Oh, well. Dark take, but
gets
not incorrect.
Dark in Bald Move headquarters.
The green fog rolls up on Miss Mars, and I gotta say, the way she was running her mouth about being a star and, want to hear all my new improved material and basically get me out of this fucking freak show, I thought she was a goner for sure.
Was she offering to sleep with him? She said that you're not the first young man to come here looking to learn the ways of love.
No, but
I've seen her sleep with someone to get out of a bind before.
Sure.
So surely she would sleep with someone to get herself into a big show.
Yeah, and she also kind of threw herself at him when she found out he was actually Edward Mordrake.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He said, "I am no longer a man. You cannot fool me with your female charms or whatever. Mm-hmm. I thought he was actually pretty cool. He's a pretty badass character. I like.
Yeah, he's cool.
I think Edward Mordrake is a very interesting character.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But we'll be talking about more of him in particular later and as he relates to Twisty. But after she goes on, he cuts her short and says, "It's not your talent that renders me speechless. It's your delusional ignorance." And she protests that she's not a freak, as all of his dead menagerie of freaks hold her down and pull her legs off.
Oh.
And he says, "Nothing's more craven than a freak that pretends to be a zookeeper when she is a diseased animal herself and demands to hear of her darkest hour." And that's when the credits roll. Afterwards, Jimmy and Esmeralda run out of gas on his motorcycle. This apparently is immediately after the officer rousted them from the phone booth.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, "Look, we need to get off the road." She's like, "I ain't walking through a dark woods with you, freak boy." He's like, "You're not my type." And she's like, "Oh, pretty face isn't your type." And about then, a car comes down the road, runs him off into the woods.
Yep.
Anything to say? Or I'm going to keep rolling because we got a lot to talk about later. There's the 23-year-old trick-or-treater who shaves is stuck in the school bus with the picnicker.
Oh.
He's afraid he's going to die, and the picnicker says, "Look, nobody's going to die." She's turned into John McClane.
Yeah, she's quickly figuring out that he is completely useless. He can't even untie her.
Mm-hmm.
He's like your son when we ask him to look for anything. It's like, I can't do it. It's not there.
True story. It's not in front of my 5-degree arc vision. Twisty comes back. He's going to start a performance, and he opens up the door, and Picnicker bull rushes him, in fact.
Did you see her look at the 23-year-old shaving trick-or-treater?
Yeah, like, are you going
to... She's like, "I could tell you about the plan I'm about to hatch, or I could just make a run for it."
Right.
Little boy, he'll make it out fine.
Yeah, but the little boy, he's just too weak, because apparently they've been fed nothing but candy. And precious little of that.
Yeah, I don't think they've even eaten that.
Oh, yeah. Because I don't...
said he doesn't feed us. I mean, the clown said he fed them candy, but she said he...
He could just be delusional.
Yeah.
I got some takes on that, too. But...
it's probably throwing, like, worms in there.
Johnny and Esmeralda are about to resume their journey.
Jimmy. Have you been calling him Johnny?
No, I'm sorry. Jimmy and Esmeralda are about to resume their journey when they witness the Twisty comes rampaging out of the woods to recapture Picnic Girl.
He tackled her hard.
Yeah.
You saw them, like, do barrel rolls down the road.
Barrel rolls. Jimmy decides to cowboy up, and he's going to try to help this girl. As we go back to Miss Mars' Carnival of Green Fog, while she's telling her story, apparently back in Berlin, 1932, she worked in a very kinky sex club. There's people pissing in pots. There's a pregnant carpet munching. There's lots of gay and lesbian sex. There is most depraved of all, a sexy puppet show.
That was horrifying. I don't think I'll be able to sleep right now.
Yeah, I mean, I was so shocked that the sitting on rusty nails on a toilet didn't even faze me later.
But, you know,
on.
We did watch this in slow-mo so we could fully absorb it.
That's the type of people.
I think they were just, like, showing clips of things of people.
We're trying to take notes at the same time. I'm like, oh, this is... I'm trying to write down all the fucked up shit. And Cecily turns to me and she says, "Put it on slow-mo." And I said, "I love you," and did.
And then we watched it again.
on a loop, like an 8mm film. Ugh. So, first of all, let me finish the scene. She was a professional dom. Mm-hmm. She's into humiliating and inflicting pain on her clientele who are eating it up.
And she never has sex with them.
Never. She's not. Most pro doms don't. That's part of their deal. They just they just dish out the punishment. And she attracts a wealthy clientele of watchers.
The Blue Man Group, I think she called it.
And I got to say that I was fascinated at how great the makeup job department did at making shit.
Making Elsa look 20 years younger?
Yes, but what's her real name?
Oh, Jessica Lange.
Jessica Lange looked 20 years younger. I mean, I was shocked. I was like trying to look and like, did they somehow go back and get old footage of her in something?
It was remarkable. They had to have been just like shining a 100-watt light directly at her face to just blow it out, right?
Well, they could have done that.
And then taped her back.
So that's what I was going to say. They used
and then put a wig on her so they have like nice fluffy platinum blonde hair and hide the tape, obviously.
Right.
And the binder clips.
Yeah, the binder clips holding 6 inches of skin at the back of her skull.
Jessica Lange is still a good-looking woman, no, but she's not...
I wouldn't kick her out of bed, but she looks like she's had some miles put on them tires, and I just could not believe how well they just erased that.
Do you ever think about how tongue-in-cheek this all is? You know, you have all these characters who are basically playing themselves on screen.
Yeah.
And they're dealing with issues that they probably deal with in real life, only it's amplified because you want that kind of shock and horror.
Yeah. Are you saying that Jessica Lange
like the way that Ma Petite doesn't like to be carried, but she allows herself to be carried for the purposes of the show. The way that Paul the Illustrated Seal, Matt Fraser, probably has dealt with the pain of having, you know, I don't know what the actual term of the condition is called.
Yeah, it's like polydactylism or something crazy.
Yeah, something like that. But they're all, I mean, it's just being illuminated. They're being called freaks and they're just being, you know, punished for this. I just think it's really interesting that you would subject yourself to that.
While we return to the Paul, Matt Fraser, not only is he a good-looking guy, surprisingly good actor. Convincing crier, convincing pain, life, life pain.
Oh my God, just go marry Matt Fraser already.
I kind of want to.
Yeah, no, he's a good-looking guy.
No, that's not just that. I mean, he's really talented.
He's a good-looking and talented man.
And I think it's like, man, there's a lot... Because it's not like he's got roles just handed down to him because he's got, you know...
Yeah, I don't think he's been in much other things. I mean, he's successful doing
his
performances.
He's been in a lot of documentaries, and he's got... I guess his performances are, like, award-winning.
Oh.
Just the, how subversive and clever they are.
Yeah.
But, you know, he could have been a no shit Hollywood star.
Yeah.
Had he not got the full body tattoos and the flipper arms.
Yeah. And I think that's what makes their performance more convincing is like, how much of this are you saying that's actually real thoughts that you have?
All right. I will tear myself away from the glory that is Matt Fraser.
Thank you.
And the demon face says, this is not the worst of your story. This is not your deepest pain. Tell me about your legs. We go back to Esmeralda and Jimmy, and he's saying, hey, stay here. Why go check out the school bus? She's like, no, stay. No.
No.
No. All right. She decides that she's going to come. And I think it's funny that she follows him, but she's kind of just like tromping and making tons of noise and tripping over her heels and all this
stuff.
She
is, and she's like lighting cigarettes and scoffing and rolling her eyes and just like filing her nails.
Oh, my God. Jimmy goes up, scouts out Twisty's trailer, and he sees that the kids are inside, and he's like, holy shit, and then gets cold-cocked by the dandy, as does Esmeralda.
Dandy gotta knock you out.
He did. So we go back to Miss Mars's pain. She explains that the Watchers make mini Blue Man Group movies with her, where she made men ejaculate gold, alluding to her. It sounds pretty painful, but I think they're alluding to her profitability.
Mm.
During one film, she noticed there wasn't a co-star. They made her drink some stuff, and she got drugged, and apparently this is a snuff film, and they chainsawed off her fucking legs. Pretty horrific.
Yeah.
And left her for dead. And the soldier boy, the same boy that she put in, presumably a dog collar and made sit on the rusty iron throne, so to speak, he saved her life, and she never forgave him for it because she wanted to die that day.
I wonder if he's going to come back sometime.
I was going to ask you that same question.
I mean, he was in love with her.
Yes.
He probably is following her around.
Yes. And for them saying, I feel like that they're just setting up the drama in the future. I could never forgive him. I feel like we'll see him again.
Mm-hmm.
Then she says that ironically, the film made her a star. It was distributed all over Germany. It was incredibly popular in the sicko snuff circles. But unfortunately, her career was over because she's a dominatrix and a singer and a dancer, and she's got no legs. No legs! And the demon's heard enough. He says, this is the one. And she's actually, at this point, eager to die. She's like, you know what?
I think she's always been eager to die.
But she's kind of been in delusion.
Oh, like the stars are now falling out of her eyes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She's like gotten real and gotten in touch with that pain. And just as he's about to take her, a toy piano plays. And he says, do you hear the music? So I guess I felt like that this guy was supernaturally aware of all the freaks in the area.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently it was – and it's weird that like Elsa Mars triggered a performance on Halloween that summoned him.
Uh-huh.
And yet he's coming to collect – a person that's not in her show. Although I guess he was at one point. Maybe that's part of the it, yeah. Maybe that's the loophole he's exploiting. I don't know how.
And who knows how long ago that was? Because Jimmy, I mean, they all look like they're the exact same ages.
Yeah, right. No, yeah. I get that this has kind of been a recent thing for Twisty, which is kind of sheds light on why he was hanging around the carnival earlier on.
Yeah.
But I thought that and who knows how vengeful supernatural freak ghosts work. Maybe we'll find out, because I don't think I for one don't feel like we're done with Edward Mordrake or Twisty, but we'll talk a little bit more about that later.
Okay.
Dandy is, speaking of the music, Dandy is putting on a hell of a show in front of the school bus. He says he's got his lovely assistant Tiny Tits, which is Esmeralda, put up in a box, mm-hmm. and his an accompaniment, the amazing Mr. Clown, and he's just banging on this little toy what is it, pianoforte?
Yeah, or just piano.
Piano.
If you don't
piano
want to be fortissimo. Some sort of pretentious asshole. Well,
I do all the time. And he's going to saw her in half to figure out how this trick works. And Jimmy is frantically trying to get the ropes off his wrist. He manages to slip out and cold cock Dandy, pay him back, to Twisty's general delight.
Yeah.
He thinks this is great, and he's like encouraging the kids to clap.
The show must go on.
The show must go on, but then everybody...
true performance artist.
Everybody tries to escape. Twisty ends up choking out Jimmy and is about to kill him with the scissors when, wouldn't you know it, in comes the green fog rolling in. Speaking of green fog, this show is sponsored by Lexus. Not this show, but American Horror Story Freak Show is sponsored by Lexus.
Yes.
And Wes Bentley, who is Edward Mordrake, is busy selling them cars.
He is.
And he is a good-looking man.
He is. I bought a Lexus. I bought two Lexuses. Is it Lexi?
Well, I got podcaster money, so I can't afford a Lexus. maybe in a couple years. But this is definitely on my wish list. I added to my Amazon wish list. All the Lexuses.
Wes Bentley?
I just selected all the Lexuses and Wes Bentley and said add to gift list.
And Matt Frazier.
I've only seen him in beards and like weird facial hair.
Have you?
So yeah, because like
I'm pretty sure he looked just like that in Heroes. Am I transposing him with another man?
I think you are.
Nah, I'm gonna look this up while you think about what you've done.
But the only thing I can think of seeing him in was in the first.
American Beauty. He was the kid with the video camera.
Right.
Yeah,
filming the shopping bags.
Yeah, he was.
Well, he was but a boy. He's grown into a handsome man.
Yes, he has.
And he looks good clean shaven, so I got to say.
Yes, he does.
Tiny Tits, speaking of Esmeralda, leads the escapees to the road.
She saved them kids.
She did. And Dandy trips over his own dick, trying to chase her, and he throws out a pentahate. He keeps on one-upping himself on these I hate yous. He's up to five now. Will he go to the sex-a-hate?
I think he'll go further because he's still alive.
Octo-hate?
Octo-hate.
Oh, my God. I don't know if we have enough episodes left to get to Octo-hate. Edward Mordrake says, remove your mask, clown. And he does. And guess what? It's still a horror show. I know this is American Horror Story. This is American Horror Show.
Yeah, that's amazing. I don't know how they did the effects. I think they probably just put like a green cap on his chin and just said, go to town. Make this the worst you can imagine.
When his tongue starts snaking out between his teeth, it's... Ugh. So fucked.
Okay, it looks cool because it's creepy as hell.
Mm-hmm.
But how does your tongue survive a shotgun blast intact?
Well, it's like the double barrel is like a tongue depressor. The tongue's completely out of the blast.
Well, then how does the bottom of his jaw?
Oh, I know. Okay. I have many physiological questions
okay.
about how
it looks
this
cool
actually...
as hell. And this is where I give American Horror Story a free pass.
I was, you know, and here's the thing: like, I'm going to give myself a couple pats on the back for calling this. But I feel like they missed the opportunity by not having some part of his head blown off, too. Which,
I know. We discussed that last episode or the one before, but I was pretty sure that's where the skull cap came into play.
Right. Because
and maybe we can get... Oh, are we there?
Wait. No, we're going to talk about his
his gruesome... head injury.
And Edward says, if you just concentrate your mind, focus your mind, I can understand you. And then, sure enough, we don't have any problems understanding him as he relates his story from there on out.
John Carroll Lynch, an amazing actor, by the way. Did not see that he had this in him.
And we talked about a lot of his physicality, but his voice.
Yeah.
Playing this simple clown gave this such a
just this,
sweetness and sadness at the end.
This meek voice who just has been so abused and doesn't honestly see any wrong.
It's hard to find a non-creepy clown. But when he was made up in the pure white and his makeup and he had that big face and he's in front of all his kids laughing. This
genuine smile.
I'm like, yes, that's a clown that you could bring to a birthday party.
Yes.
Because the thing is what's missing about most the problem with most clowns is they're adults.
Yeah.
Trying to be childlike and it's kind of creepy.
Right.
Where he really is childlike and he's able to connect with those kids.
Right.
And it has so much obvious joy. I felt good just watching him.
Yeah.
I was totally unprepared for the feels that I was getting from this clown.
Would you say that he's a pure freak?
He was a pure freak. So you're right. He's looking for a pure freak.
Well, you're the one that said that, but yes.
No. But pure in the innocent way, right?
Yeah. I don't know if it's innocent.
Well, you're bringing it back around because he kind of is. I mean, he does bad things later on, but I think, you know, where there's extenuating circumstances. But yeah. John Carroll Lynch, my God, what a performance. And when, you know, like I said, we talked about his voice when he said, you know, I love the kids. I made them laugh.
Oh,
it's like Benny talking about the rabbits before, or Lenny talking about the rabbits before George has to put him down. So sad.
Spoiler alert.
So sad. Well,
I haven't read of Mice of Men.
He says he loved the children, but not the mean freaks. We find out why. The other freaks are jealous. I kind of got the idea that these freaks wanted to molest the kids.
Oh, yeah. They're absolute pedophiles. They said, I like it when they sit on our lap and do that wiggle thing. Why can't we have that job?
Christ.
Yeah, it's just absolutely horrifying. So they decide to run the clown out of town?
By accusing him of what they, which he's obviously innocent. There was a little debate about that, but there's no fucking way Twisty was diddling kids.
Absolutely.
There's nothing on screen to suggest that. Everything suggests the opposite. He's horrified at the suggestion.
Yeah.
And it's really just painful to watch them pick on him and make fun of him. And he's trying to be good-natured about it because that's how good he is. He doesn't get that he's being made fun of and is trying to kind of laugh it off. And they said, you're going to go to jail. And he said, but jail's for bad people. I'm a good person. And he gets scared and runs off.
I understand that these two dwarves were like high and drunk and they just wanted to be assholes. I don't understand why all the other people around the bonfire went on with that.
I don't know. It's kind of mob mentality, right?
Is it? He was a big draw. He was a nice guy. He's easy to get along with. Kept to himself. He wasn't a threat to any of your performances. So I don't understand why they would want to drive him off forever.
Yeah. I wish there was somebody that would stand up for him. But clearly, this freak show is not as not as common as Miss Mars.
1942 was a hard time.
It was. The world's on fire. Anyway, he explains the world travels around. His accusations about being a child molester, he couldn't be a clown anymore. He comes back home to Jupiter, but his mom had died. It keeps getting sadder. And here's the worst part. He sits in his little sad school bus, and he decides he has a plan to turn the garbage to gold like Rumpelstiltskin.
And I would buy all those toys. Those were so cool.
If he lived in the land of Etsy, he would be king. He was just born several decades before the internet. Honestly, I think kids would love these toys.
Yes.
But the toy shopkeeper was freaked out because he's at this time wearing a filthy uniform. He probably smells the high hell.
Yeah.
He's trying to explain to the kid, and he's just scaring him. But the little boat toy was awesome. All that stuff was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, the shopkeeper says, you're scaring the kids. You're one of those psychos that does things to kids, which, you know, triggers his, you know, he kind of has a fit of rage, kind of despair that brings him to commit suicide, which he couldn't even do correctly.
I feel like all of this could have been avoided if he were just smart enough to put himself in some people clothes.
Yeah, or if he had someone, anyone to look after him, like
if his mom were still alive by the time he got run off. Yeah,
like think about how Forrest Gump would have turned out if his mom died before he made a ton of money and had some solid friends, you know, like Lieutenant Dan to look after him. Forrest Gump could have gone to dark places.
That's true. Like when Jenny died.
Like when Jenny.
I'm just going to ruin all the classics here on this podcast.
What are you? You turn into Netflix's spoiler jukebox over there? What the fuck?
You started it.
I did not. So anyway, this shopkeeper coincidentally, well, not coincidentally, fatally turns out to be the Hanley's toy who gets murdered. He ends up getting his head chopped off later on.
Yep. So it wasn't senseless murders.
It wasn't quite senseless. Here's the thing. He said, I had one good idea at this point. And apparently he worked at Mrs. Mars Carnival because we see Jimmy kind of barking. And you can see the sadness and the desperation in his eyes as he's trying to – he's made a tin mask for his ruined mouth. And he's trying to offer his balloon animals. But he said, the kids forgot they loved me. And the freaks keep stealing them. So I had to get them back. And I made the kids funny shows, and their parents were mean, and I gave them candy, and I got a pretty babysitter for him. You can see, because I feel like that the shotgun blast did something to his brain where it turned him mean. Not mean, but it turned him murderous. Like, I don't think that's a line he would have crossed.
I'm trying to decide at which point he snapped. Like, I feel like it would have been more fitting if they had showed him trying and failing to work at the freak show with Jimmy before he shot himself.
But that's the thing. I feel like that they gave him a shot, but Jimmy seemed like he was very kind of uncomfortable in trying to manage the crowd because he sees how bad this guy is freaking out the audience.
But you're still being nice to him.
Yeah.
And welcoming. He said, you're all welcome here and don't mind him. He's just a kook. But
yeah,
I thought it was handled well. I think that you're right, though, is you can see the beginnings of where he started to snap.
And do you think that's why one of the reasons Jimmy was so tight-lipped with the cops, because he knew that Twisty was one of his freaks once, and he was kind of like, because he didn't give him any information.
No, absolutely not. I think that
why wouldn't he say, oh, he's maybe protecting the freak show?
Yeah, if he knew that guy was kidnapping and murdering kids, he absolutely would not. It's just not in his character. You saw how quickly he went to go save the kids that he saw. Plus, he didn't look like he recognized that clown when they had their face off. I just realized that. Well, at no point was there any glimmer of recognition.
I don't know.
So I think it was a very brief stint that Twisty had there.
That's a guy you don't forget, though. And I debate whether he did, because when Jimmy comes to, he's able to covertly observe a lot of these proceedings. I kind of think that there was a little bit of recognition there.
I mean, maybe there was.
And maybe that's why he went after the girl in the first place. He recognized Twisty and thought maybe he could. I don't know. That is kind of a little bit of a plot
hole. I think
it's
just in Jimmy's character to be a hero.
I agree with that, unless he's murdering cops. But we'll talk about that a little bit later, too. Edward says, I've met many Craven Killer. All of them could admit the blackness in their heart when their hour came, but you have caused the demon to weep. How do you interpret that?
That they found a pure freak. I think that
pure in the terms of innocence? Because I thought he was condemning him, which surprised me after telling that story. But then when he said, you've made the demon weep, that seems like a very unique.
Well, here's what sets his story apart from everyone else's, is that they all did bad things. They're not. They all have...
Except for Paul, right? Paul didn't do anything.
They didn't?
My man Matt wouldn't do anything.
Well, I mean, they made some bad choices.
Okay.
But they could admit that they were at their lowest point, and they made some bad choices. And I think they were genuinely remorseful, except for Elsa. I think that she had quite a bit of vanity and was still very delusional. So I think he was going to claim her because of that.
Right.
And then he found Twisty and realized that he was just completely ignorant to his blackness. He was just all blackness now, and he didn't realize it. So pure in the sense that he's undiluted, maybe?
Yeah, and I felt like that it was almost an act of mercy what Edward did.
Yeah.
Like, you are in a hell. I'm actually, because when when he says you are the one, and he murders him in a fairly brutal fashion. But after he falls, he very gently says, "Come, brother, and join us." And when he rose up, his mouth is restored, and all the other dead freaks laid hands on him, like in solidarity, and accepts him. And it seems like it brought him a lot of comfort. So maybe Edward Mordrake is not the ghoulish person we think he is. Maybe he's actually rescuing the pure freaks, the freaks that are in anguish.
I think it's like a scales of justice kind of thing. The demon is driving him, but I think, I don't know.
Yeah, it's.
He's the speaker.
Yeah, right. He's the interpreter. You might be right that, like, if you did heinous things, then your time with him is probably going to be torment. On the other hand, if you had heinous things done to you, he offers you a release and comfort. Maybe that's what it is. It's a two-faced deal.
Quick question.
Yeah.
Where the hell did that skull cap come from?
That's one of the reasons I feel like that his story's not done. That we still have a couple of questions left. We saw that when after his mouth was blown up,
yeah,
and he is wearing a tin mask and he was working for Jimmy, he still was wearing his little beanie, not the literal skull cap.
Right. So, and that seems like he killed another clown and took that clown's head because it's got like clown-like hair on it.
Yeah, although I feel like that he could have probably done that post-mortem.
I don't think so.
No?
No, I honestly think that was the way the hair was when he took it.
Okay.
That's just my interpretation.
You mentioned that you feel like that maybe there was some things that hasn't got to the screen. Maybe there's more story that episodes have been so fucking long already.
Right. I feel like maybe they were going to expound on Twisty's story, but they left some things on the cutting room floor. Like between him leaving the freak show and him starting to kill people.
Yeah.
That maybe his first victim was a clown.
Yeah.
Who maybe took over his old job at the fair before.
Or maybe he was just making shit up
that works for me. I think. No, stop it. Stop it. No. Twisty's a good guy.
That's what I'm saying. He saw a clown genuinely hurting children, and he murdered him.
Genuinely hurting. I thought you said maybe, he started genuinely hurting.
Maybe that was his first murder.
That could be it. And then he took his head, his hair. But I don't see why if it was a bad clown that he would want to take something from his and wear it as his own.
Oh, yeah.
That wouldn't make sense even in the mind of a simpleton.
That's a good point, too.
Also, I wanted to point out that when Edward Mordrake shows up to Twisty, Twisty is about to kill Jimmy with his shears.
Yeah, right.
When the police arrive, Jimmy is ready to attack someone with those same shears.
Sure.
Keep that in mind.
Oh, okay. The dandy returns about this time to the school bus and finds Twisty dead, and he assumes the dead man's mouthpiece and seems to really get into it.
He puts that disgusting thing on. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Can you imagine how many... Nope. I don't want to.
I can't imagine the texture.
There's not enough...
The aroma, the
antibacterial
flavor.
Anything in 1950s to make that okay.
So the cops then arrive in the distance to Jimmy's relief because he's like, God damn, I might survive this thing against all odds. The police, it's early in the morning and the police are interrogating Esmeralda and Jimmy. They seem really approving of what they did, but Jimmy is kind of uncooperative and says, hey, I want to tell them about the real hero, which is Meep, who didn't deserve to die. He was a martyr, and he tells the cops that someone's going to pay for what happened. And this story would be so much stronger if Jimmy hadn't murdered a cop.
Yes.
And I understand that he was trying to protect Dot and Bet.
And there's only so much you can do with Meep's character. I understand that.
But you did not
illustrate any sort of connection that make me buy this.
And that's the other thing is Bet and Dot apparently are murderer. I wish that we found out that mom was murdered by Twisty and they were blamed for it.
Yeah, they're acting like they're all very innocent when they're all incredibly guilty.
And I'm a shades of gray guy, but that's not what this is.
No,
this is just they're murderers too. And murdering to cover up murders, and now
it's not okay that Meep died, but it's, I don't know.
Yeah, Jimmy's not really a hero. I think he's a good guy. He's a good guy that just happens to kill in cold blood.
Yeah. He's Twisty, pre-Twisty.
Anyway, a mob then descends. Jimmy and Esmeralda ride back to the carnival, and they said, hey, everybody, basically, I The curfew's over and I saved the day.
Elsa's pissed. She finds out Edward Mordrake did not, in fact, take her soul.
And then a mob descends on a carnival and you think things are going to go bad. But no, they're there to pay homage to Jimmy and shake his hand. And people are making brownies for him and everything's going his way.
They're making brownies. They're only eating some of them.
Jimmy's making eyes at Esmeralda as Dot and Bette are making eyes at him. Can you say square, a love square angle? Although Michael Guy had a better one. He said, with Dot and Bette, love is always a trapezoid. And then at the end, Dell stumbles out of his trailer and is conflicted by what he sees. What do you think is going through the large short man's dome?
I am so hungover.
I don't know. Is it kind of amazing that the boy's doing right? The boy's going to be that something good has happened? Is he?
Maybe he's finding the futility in himself that they drew this very large crowd and he wasn't anywhere near to help.
Ooh,
it.
Ooh, yeah.
His wife's over there enjoying the fruits of that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. She gets her little moment this episode to shine. When.
Yeah, I like that little hand flourish she did. That was cute.
Mm-hmm. I'm a lady and then some. Miss Mars informs Dot and Bette that good news, got a sold out crowd. Bad news, you've been demoted to opening as the warm up act for the Pinheads.
Bum, bum.
Which they're about to get their outrage on when the
Russell Edgington shows up.
His huge forked penis freak collector self comes in and now introduces himself as Dick Spencer. Oh, sorry, Richard Spencer. And says he's a Hollywood agent.
I get it.
Yeah, the Dick Splinter, Dick Splitster,
oh,
two dicks.
Like Dispenser, Dick Spencer.
Dick forks a lot. I think we can derive that. We've cracked the code.
There we go. Figured it out.
Richard Spencer's an anagram for Dick Splitter. Dick splits a lot. Danny comes home after a long night of very disappointing failed homicidal maniac work. And Dora is writing his shit and calls him a maid-in-a-shade white boy who doesn't know how to wipe his ass because I clean your shitty underwear, boy. And Danny has enough of her bullshit, kills her with the shears.
That he couldn't possibly have.
How?
Because Jimmy had them last in the trailer.
What if he just dropped them when the cops came?
Are you telling me that Danny was still there when the cops came? He went inside the trailer and got the shears?
Yeah, because that'd be a crime scene.
Yeah, there's
like, that's
no possible
not going away. You're right.
Yeah, it's a murder weapon. That, among all the other things, would have been taken away.
We got you, Ryan Murphy. We got you on the run.
I'm saying, it's not a big deal, but I got ya.
Yeah, gotcha. You gotta. And he kills Dora and really, really likes it. Are you interested in the Dandy as a villain going forward?
Nope.
Really?
I think he's gross.
Yeah, but that's not a prerequisite that's not a non-prerequisite for being an effective American horror villain. And there's something interesting, I think, about a very beautiful man now being the lead villain in a show called Freak Show. I think that's pretty cool.
I just don't find him interesting at all.
Okay.
I think he's just a spoiled boy and he's got some sort of madness going on. I just don't find it interesting.
Okay.
That's my personal opinion.
Do you think Edward Mordrake is coming back?
No.
Do you think Twisted the Clown is coming back?
Nope.
Do you think we'll get a flashback?
I think Twisted the Clown's not coming back unless Edward he's only coming back with Edward. And maybe they'll do some sort of Stevie Nicks remix in the finale and he'll make a surprise appearance or something.
Like a Force Ghost.
Yeah.
Obi-Wan Kenobi Force Ghost.
Yep.
Yeah, ooh. I don't know. I feel like I know that Edward Mordrake's deal is he only comes back on Halloween. But I also feel like that there might be some kind of loophole with him being the pure freak. And he might be able to he might be able to take a heroic turn later on in the season.
Nah.
All right.
He's too simple.
Okay. Well, we have some feedback, but first, do you have anything else to say about the show? I don't want to rush you off.
No, I'm done. I'm leaving. Got this, right?
A little bit of bill paying. Hey, there's a lot of different ways you can support Bald Move. The Amazon.baldmove.com link, great way. It steals pennies right from Jeff Bezos' wallet, first and foremost. That's the most important thing. It sends us love, the second most important thing. And it doesn't cost you anything, and you still get all the same great services and products and pricing and shipping. It's a win-win-win-win situation is what I'm trying to say. Mm-hmm. If you'd like to straight up support us, you can go to support.baldmove.com. There's several different donation options, including Bitcoin.
You can hire Jim or Aaron as your own personal dominatrix.
Yeah, that's not actually on the menu, but do send us an email.
If you're a Patreon subscriber, you can get them both at the same time. Ultimate torture.
What do you think we do in these lunches with Jim and Aaron? Lunches with Jim and Aaron. Patreon.com/baldmove. We've got a little web show me and Jim do.
Well, this is a little web show.
This seems hot as hell, doesn't it?
It does.
A little web show. We have all of our podcasts streamed live, the recordings, including the instant takes on Walking Dead, which is super useful. If you want to be get the freshest of content, that's the way to do it. Patreon.com/baldmove. Also subbable.com/baldmove, of course, if you want a custom podcast, if you want us to do a personal dedication to one of your sweeties, if you want to get physical goods like backer certificates and photographs and
doggy collars.
What?
Doggy collars.
Doggy collars.
Woof.
What is that about?
Dog collars.
Stop it. No. Nope,
I will not stop.
You can go to subbable.com/baldmove and check all that out. Am I leaving anything off? Rate and review us on iTunes. That's what you can do. If you can't do any of that stuff, and I understand, money's tight. Not everybody digs Amazon. Please rate and review us on iTunes because it's the best way that you can help us grow our audience.
Yep.
And we'd appreciate that too.
You can mail us bags of your children's Halloween candy. It's the final option.
True. That would be appreciated. Amy G starts us off on feedback, which, by the way, you want to get in on this, send it to AHS Alpha Hotel Sierra at baldmove.com. Amy G says, "Hey guys, thought you would enjoy this link. It's to a site called freakyou.com, and it's this."
I'm pretty sure it's just freak.
Really? It looks like it's freakyou. Well, freaky? Freaky?
Freak. Freak.
It's hard to spell. It's hard to give up because there's a lot of E's and freak. Q's and U's and E's and dots and coms. I'm going to put it in the show notes. But what it is an archive of a lot of different carnival performers and freak show people. Mm-hmm. Conjoined twins, wolf boys. There's apparently a dude on there with two penises.
Russell Edgington is on the website?
He is. Also, like 6 months ago on Reddit, a guy did an AMA that has two penises.
Wow.
And it's amazing.
And you added that to your wish list too?
It's bookmarked. She continues, "I stumbled on this website many years ago while looking for info on John Merrick, the Elephant Man. It's filled with tons of very good stories for people that were involved in the old freak shows. And Cecily, I thought the same thing as you did when Stanley's pants came off. Two dicks! There's a guy on the website link above that had two of them, and I really hope that's how it plays out in the show. Thanks for great insights. Can't wait for next week."
Thanks for backing me up, Amy.
Sarah A. said, "Hey, love listening to your podcast. Even more than watching the show because it terrifies me.
Really?
I was on Facebook last night and I saw this. It's a picture of a guy who's already turned around and got a tattoo of Twisty on either his forearm or his calf. I couldn't really tell.
A large expanse of skin that...
freshly shaved. You show up to a date and you see this guy, it's Twisty on the guy's forearm. Your reaction?
Nope, out of there.
I thought it's going to be, that's a fuck on the first date.
No.
So that's a deal breaker.
Yeah, obviously.
You're interviewing people. You're interviewing employees. You glance over.
Okay,
and
you have a twisty. You have a Twisty the Clown tattoo on your forearm and or calf. What kind of person are you?
Right.
Explain to me.
Right.
Put yourself in the mind of that person.
Huge American Horror Story fan.
More than that.
Yeah, no.
You're a fan of clowns that blow their own heads off because they're so misunderstood, but they can't even.
That's the thing. He got this tattoo before Twisty got redeemed.
Oh, well, I bet he feels real dumb now.
It's like, what? He's got a tragic backstory. He's actually kind of innocent. Ah,
shit.
You're going to have to go to that one show where they fix the tattoos. And
you're
turn
a big
it into...
fan of clown murders? Is that the kind of person you want to present yourself as?
Yeah.
The tattoo looks really good. It's very well done.
Yeah, he's going to be on Tattoos Mistakes and have it turned into the clown from It in a couple years. I can just tell.
How's that better?
I'm not saying it's... I'm just saying... it's worse because he's turned off by the idea that Twisty's actually kind of a good guy.
Oh, so he wants a bad guy.
I misunderstood. Yeah, he wants a really bad, tormenting children clown. Yeah. Not an accidentally, mistakenly tormenting children clown. I realize you guys can't see this picture. It looks exactly like Twisty on Human Flesh. But I'm going to link it to the show notes, too.
Okay, do it. Because
that's the kind of guy I am. Kelly BR was bursting to let us know, casting news, that Neil Patrick Harris has been cast to be on American Horror Story.
And his husband?
And his husband, David Burtka. I'm not actually going to tell their roles because that might be considered a spoiler.
Oh, is it listed online, though?
It is. It just came out. And it's you know, not much, but you can find it if you want. But I thought it's... What's your reaction to NPH being on AHS?
I love him. And I've seen him play a truly terrifying character in Gone Girl recently.
Oh, God, yeah. I forgot about that. I thought you were going to go with a Dr. Horrible sing-along blog. I'm like, ironically scary?
No, if I were going to go for that joke, I would say he was a truly horrifying character in How I Met Your Mother.
He kind of is.
He was a womanizing asshole.
Kind of is. Anyway, she continues, Kelly BR, John Carroll Lynch needs an Emmy. I mean, they might as well pack the sucker up and send it to his house right now. I know the Emmys are politically driven, but so he probably won't get one. Cecily, surprisingly, American Horror Story does very well at the Emmys. What's your take on this? Does John Carroll Lynch take home an Emmy?
He's been in 4 episodes. And
he's been impressive in every one. Lights out in this one.
He is. So what is that considered? That's not a co-star. It's like a guest spot.
Which, again,
is there an Emmy for that category?
Yeah, don't you remember? Like, Kathy Bates got nominated for it.
But they were co-stars.
No, Kathy Bates was considered a guest star, I believe.
Was she? She was in so many episodes.
Or supporting actress. I just know that American Horror Story got an improbable number of guest and supporting nods.
I think he did really well. He's right. It's a political game. So it just depends on... Mad Men. This is Mad Men's last
That's
year
the
to
other
get
thing
it. So, and they have always deserved all the Emmys,
right?
So,
the drama categories are tough.
John Carroll Lynch has blown away this character,
yeah.
But so have all the characters on Mad Men consistently throughout years.
Yeah, true, and haven't gotten shit for it. So
I do agree. He does deserve it if he's not up against something better.
Speaking of political, that's a very political answer.
Thank you.
Lino RJ said...
You can vote for me on November 4th.
Lino RJ said, I do think he, Twisty, is done. Didn't Murphy say in an interview that once you die in Freak Show, you're dead? That'd be pretty strong. I didn't read any of the pre-season interviews, but that's what they're saying.
Once you die in Freak Show, you're dead?
Yeah.
Because in the past few...
Sure. That's not been the case.
Yeah, people have died and come back so rapidly that
especially
I don't even know.
Coven.
They're just killing people left and right. I'm pretty sure most of the characters died 2 or 3 times.
Sure.
So whatever you say, Ryan Murphy, it's not going to be a musical show, but you're going to cast Neil Patrick Harris.
Plus, here's the thing. Like, they could be dead, but a ghost, and he's still not violating his word. Once they're dead, yeah, you're dead, but yeah, you're a ghost. You're still dead. You're just a ghost.
And that's true. He's trying to take a page out of the old Matthew Weiner book and just lie to us blatantly.
That's always a possibility as well. Michael G. said, in 1 week, I was touched by the death of a man who was an accomplice to child sex trafficking and a serial killing clown. I might have to reevaluate a couple things in my life. You and me both, buddy. You and me both. Michael LL says, I'm not so sure about this episode. I think it's safe to call Twisty the Clown one of the best components of Freak Show, if not AHS as a whole. And they just cut him loose after 4 frickin' episodes. You can say fucking on this podcast. I just so you know. At the hands of the season's most misguided, convoluted device, Edward Mordrake, Twisty's been the driving force of this season's terror and conflict in general. Now he's gone, and I'm really sad. Do you agree with his takes on Twisty exiting too soon and Edward Mordrake being a misguided, convoluted device?
I don't agree with the Edward Mordrake thing. I think I would need you to elaborate on that for me to understand where you're coming from.
Well, I can't. I read literally every word.
I'm speaking to Michael right now.
Okay. I'll see my way out of this AB conversation.
I do think they killed Twisty too soon. I can't see them coming up with something better. They could have skipped an episode and not talked about Twisty. I mean, they could have put an episode in between each of his episodes. So you still get 4, but it's more drawn out story arc. But
that's a
honestly, with With American Horror Story, you have no idea what they're going to do next.
True.
So they could come out of left field and bring you something better. So just hang in tight. It's a roller coaster ride, and let's just see where it goes, and we'll talk about it later, Michael.
I like your idea about, because I kind of agree with Frack and T's next take, but I like your idea of maybe spacing it out more, because yeah. He says, I don't think we'll see much of Twisty after this. It's good that he checked out early, because he would have become more schlocky and less scary over time. And if you're thinking that AHS just killed the golden goose, think again. The core performers have always been the heart of the story, and they're firing on all cylinders right now. Twisty was a prelude. The Dandy is now.
What if Twisty's ghost came back and inhabited Dandy? The Dandy.
You know what would be interesting? If he comes back at the finale, and Dandy has been like on a year-long rampage, and it's next Halloween, and Twisty comes to end his murderous rampage.
Edward Mordrake comes back?
Bringing Twisty with him, yeah.
Right.
I think that would be kind of cool. As a postscript for the show. But I agree. I think
Dandy's pretty terrifying as a villain.
I feel like that I'm with Frack in here, and that once you revealed his mouth and all you had left was the backstory, the more they put him on screen, it's kind of like the shark in Jaws. It's really terrifying the less you see of him. More he's on the screen, the more you get used to it, and the less freaky it becomes.
We had a lot of fun talking about and trying to speculate about what Twisty's backstory was. Why is he kidnapping these children? Why is he not killing them and he's killing other people? I just thought...
And kudos for making that all very plausible. To them, like I buy everything about his backstory, and it makes perfect logical sense now.
Yeah.
So, hey guys, it's Allison ASK, aka Little Picky. First, I am not
happy. Who calls you that?
I believe you might have.
Shit.
First, I'm not happy with the current episode. I felt the backstories of Elsa and Twisty were ridiculous, and the ending of this episode sent my panties into a twist. No pun intended.
I think I'm being a little picky.
I'm taking it anyway. My pictum / mic drop goes as follows. Twisty. I can buy Twisty as a simpleton, no problem. However, we are led to believe that he runs off into the night away from his carnival because a group of angry midgets accuse him of bouncing children on his lap. This causes him to lose his shit. Wait,
No, that wasn't what caused him to run off. It was the threat of police coming to get
him. But I'm going to nitpick her nitpick.
All right.
If you buy him as a simpleton, then why do you not buy that he can get... His shit all twisted up over these people mocking him and making fun of him.
Yeah, it was the entire group that was in on it too. Nobody made him think that that wasn't true.
Then he kills the toy store owner 20 years after he kicks him out of his store. So does this make the scared?
Has it been 20 years? I thought
it was 10.
Okay.
Yeah, because we're in 52, and this was in 40. Well, it was in 43 when he first got ran off.
It was in 42.
Okay. I'm just saying it's been...
No, I'm just trying to work through in my head.
It's been approximately 10 years.
Yeah, and it's 58 now?
No, 50. I think it's 52, and his story was taking place in 43.
Okay.
So he says, so does this make the scared shitless kid the other man you killed in the store? No coincidence overload here at all.
Well, we don't know how much time passed between him getting run off from the circus and him deciding to strike out on his own and start making those toys. I mean, it could have been... a process over a year or a couple years, maybe, that he lived there and he made a treasure out of trash.
And I didn't get the fact that the scared shitless kid was necessarily the little coffee fetching twerp. That's an inference that I think it's fair to make, but I don't know that that's absolutely
no
canon.
I think there were just people who were shopping.
So I admit I felt sorry for Twisty for all 2.5 seconds. This incident promotes him to attempt suicide, which I will buy. But he survives a failed attempt at blowing his brains out with no hole in the back of his head.
I give you that one, Allison.
Yeah, that's fucked up. Now we're stuck with Dandy as Twisty.
That one also sucks.
That ending. So now the entire town accepts the freaks. Jimmy is the hero because he saved them kids. Brownies. I now feel the writers are fucking me without buying me a drink first. I feel like Dandy AHS ruined my Halloween.
I hate you. I hate you. I hate you.
Can we get to Octo Hate?
I hate you, I hate you.
I don't know. I mean, America works that way. Like, America is fickle as hell. Like, you you saved me. I love you. What did you do for me to lately? Back to your hero. I mean,
I set my standards way too high and you couldn't meet them. So now you failed me.
Right. Right. I mean, right now, Mel Gibson is like radioactive in Hollywood. He's an anti-Semite.
I'm pretty sure he's over. Mel Gibson is over.
But he's one solid movie back away from being in the spotlight and all's being forgiven. That's what I'm saying.
So. I think
Michael Vick murdered dogs and he's playing NFL. Ray Rice beat his girlfriend on camera. He will be playing football in 2 years. I guarantee you.
Well, think about it. This is a much more progressive age. I'm saying right now, at this point in time, I think we are progressing because they are.
Okay.
They are making a bigger point about trying to crack down on all this. I think that with the Woody Allen scandal and things like that, that those sort of things aren't going to be overlooked in Hollywood. And
I would hope. And that, you know, I mean,
the people probably said that 10 years ago, probably said that 20 years ago, probably said that 30 years ago. But
right. And it's not all black and white. I mean, Mel Gibson seems like he's a very disturbed individual.
And he's over.
She continues, Elsa's legs were cut off as part of a snuff film. Are you kidding me? I thought the writers would have made it more dramatic. Allison.
That was pretty fucking dramatic.
I was going to say, what is more dramatic than being drugged, chained, and having your legs sawed off?
With a chainsaw.
With a chainsaw. That is dramatic as hell. Maybe have her jump on her. Oh, I get it. Maybe have her jump on a grenade to protect one of her sex slaves.
No, because that would make her a sympathetic person.
Yeah, and
I guess being drugged and having her leg chainsawed off is pretty sympathetic. But I mean, it's not like she was just wandering down the street.
She wasn't being heroic. She was just. I don't know. You got me all twisted up in knots now.
Yeah.
I'm like a snake eating my tail with my sympathy for her.
You're right. No, she's not a heroic person, and I don't want to see her do something heroic in order to... I mean, she's a very vain person.
Sure.
That's who she is.
Yeah. Allison...
What hurt her most about having her legs torn off is that she couldn't perform because she had beautiful legs.
Right. But, I mean, I get that. That's...
And she's not even willing to admit to who she is. She doesn't want to align herself with the rest of the freaks.
Yeah.
Air quotes. I don't think anyone there even knows that she doesn't have real legs.
You might be right.
Maybe Ethel, but Ethel. I don't even think that's true. Because remember when Ethel was comforting her that one night, she took her legs off after she left.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I don't know that Ethel does, although Ethel's got a very weird stare. Did Ethel die in between episodes, by the way?
No, I think Ethel, Amazon Eve, and Ma Petite decided to just take the episode off.
They just stayed up a late night drinking.
Yeah.
I guess Ethel...
They just slept in.
Yeah. It's hard work getting... Because she had Edward Mordrake visit her that night.
Oh, she did.
So that probably, you know, that's something...
She was drinking heavily, wasn't she?
Yeah. Okay. Nathan P's got an opposite take. Touchy tribute to Twisty... Poor Twisty the Clown, taken from us too soon. He died so young, the innocent clown who always had a smile on his face, no matter what he got himself into. He always put the children first, aiming to impress and perform for them above anyone else. He tried to see past people's appearance, seeing what they truly are on the inside. It's the inside that counts. The man always had a childlike outlook to life, a creative imagination for entertainment. What else can I say? Well, Twisty was always a good listener. He would have made a great partner in life, as his assistant can attest. Twisty was a man of the people, and his spirit will forever live in the hearts of everyone he touched. But just remember, he never touched the kids! R.I.P. Twisty.
That was a beautiful eulogy.
It was. It was.
For an insane person.
For an insane, psychopathic clown. And that is also a eulogy for this podcast, because it is like Mel Gibson's career...
Please
send us feedback at ahs@baldmove.com. You can also participate in our live show watches on facebook.com/baldmove. Super excited to have you. Thanks
don't
for
get
listening.
Yourself into too much trouble tonight if you're listening on Halloween afternoon.
But have a good and safe Halloween weekend. Enjoy that candy.
Don't forget to send us most of it though.
And I'm Aaron.
And I'm Cecily.
Good night.